Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. This year marks the 100th birthday of composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein. The native of Lawrence, Massachusetts, was well known for his music, especially for scoring the Broadway hit West Side Story. Bernstein's legacy is front and center in the latest performance by conductor and composer Rob Capello. In his What Makes It Great series, Capello unveils Note by Note, musical magic. And he joins us in studio now to talk about the brilliance of Bernstein. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome back, I should say.
Thanks.
Bernstein, born in Massachusetts,
yep.
Went to Boston Latin, Garrison Grammar School, attended Harvard. But in 1960, he wrote about the first time that he saw ballet. And he said he heard the great music of Beethoven for the first time. And since then, he never heard or conducted work without some deeply stirring memory of that visual event. So what do you think it was about Beethoven that Bernstein was responding to?
Well, you know, Bernstein was always connected to Beethoven. And in fact, he did a whole television show, a famous television show on the Fifth Symphony, where he put the sketches of the Fifth Symphony actually on the stage. And his sort of point was that, you know, we think of this music as just having descended from the heavens, perfectly written. But you look at these Beethoven sketches, it would take him 50 sketches to actually get to what he would call the sort of inevitable perfect version. And, you know, for Mozart, for composers like me, you know, you look at a Mozart score and you want to kill yourself. I mean, there's no mistakes, there's no crossouts, there's no erasures. You feel so much better when you look at a Beethoven score because you see all the agonizing scrawls, the crossouts, and you see that, you know, it got to this incredible version, but the hard work is right there on the actual page itself. And I think that Bernstein was connected to Beethoven. First, he talks a lot about that sense of inevitability in Beethoven, that the story could not be told in another way, that each note follows another note. But I think what really actually got him about Beethoven, as we often see in other people, what's deeply in ourselves, right, was that what Beethoven was really about was about connection, about taking musical ideas that no one would have ever seen as connected before and making them connect. Beethoven's all about looking past the surface differences that seem to separate us. You know, it's no coincidence that when the Berlin Wall came down, it was Beethoven's Ninth Symphony that they played. Alle Menschen werden Brüder. All men shall be brothers. That's what Beethoven is all about. And it's so poignant because there was no human being who was actually worse with other human beings.
Right.
I mean, he was the worst dinner guest ever. But, you know, deeply there, especially alone, deaf, separate from the world, writing this music about all men shall be brothers, all men shall be connected. And I think that at heart is what made Bernstein so special. Beyond being a great conductor or being a great musician or a pianist, he was about connecting, about taking this music and connecting it to everyone. You know, when Bernstein talks about Beethoven, he talks about his universality, about his ability to connect with anyone, from the most sophisticated to the most uneducated, that his music reaches everyone. And that's what Bernstein's entire life was about. Mm. All the television shows, you know, he once said, if he hadn't been a musician, he would have been a rabbi.
Really?
You know, because I think that's what he was. He was an evangelist for this music. His first instinct when he came to music he loved was to find a way to share it, to get it across, whether it was children's concerts, whether it was the Omnibus television series, whether he was playing, whether he was a musical ambassador. So I think it's connection that moved Beethoven, and it's connection that moved Bernstein to be moved by Beethoven.
Okay. And that, is that what you love about Bernstein, that feeling of trying to connect?
Well, I think what I love about Bernstein is, first of all, this incredible, passionate intensity in everything he did. I mean, you really get this feeling that whether he was conducting a piece of music or playing a piece of music or talking about it, that at that moment, this was the greatest thing ever, that he was sharing with you the most important secret and the most important thing he could. And so I think it's that passionate intensity and conviction, and also the belief that there's only music. In other words, we often make distinctions between classical music, popular music, Broadway music, symphony music. To Bernstein, it was all music. You know, there's a great quote from Duke Ellington. He says, there's only two kinds of music, good music and the other kind. And Bernstein lived that. I mean, he was castigated. You know, now everyone looks back at West Side Story and all the music I'm going to be talking about Friday from Wonderful Town and On the Town as this was great. But when he was in Boston for the opening night of On the Town, Serge Koussevitzky, the conductor of the Boston Symphony and his mentor, spent 3 hours telling him he was wasting his time, throwing away his talents on something as worthless as a Broadway musical. Hmm. But for him, it was all music. Whether it was classical music, Broadway music, jazz, piano, it was all music. And I think that's what's so moving. his ability to share all music with anyone.
Now, for your performance, you've singled out one of Bernstein's early works, Wonderful Town.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the goal for this program is really to put Bernstein's achievement in a way, in a kind of context. Everybody thinks of West Side Story, the greatest thing ever, you know, landmark musical of 1957. But I wanted to try to put it in context, both of his earlier music, because people don't know his earlier music, On the Town and Wonderful Town, but then also in the context of the other great theater music of the time. So I start the show with this song, A Little Bit in Love, from Wonderful Town, which is 1953, only 4 years before West Side Story. And that's what we begin with.
Hmm. Okay, we do have a recording of A Little Bit in Love, a 1999 recording of A Little Bit in Love from Wonderful Town. And this is sung by Audra McDonald. Let's listen.
Never felt this way before. Just a little bit in love, or perhaps a little bit more.
So tell us about this.
Doesn't the whole mood of the entire station just change when you listen to this music?
It's great. It's really. And remember, it's different.
Remember, this is the Bernstein who is conducting Mahler symphonies. This is the Bernstein who wrote his Jeremiah symphony. But it's just this incredibly relaxed music. It's Bernstein with this incredible love, facility, and affection for the Broadway popular music of his time. Stepping out of his white tie and tails from the New York Philharmonic and swinging. You know, just take that opening phrase. You know, this little phrase. Now, I mean, first of all, if he had done classical rhythm, if he had been at the New York Philharmonic, it would have had square rhythm. Bum, 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 like this. I'm a little bit in love. But there's this wonderful slide on the very first note. He goes, that little slide. I mean, that's Bernstein, the conductor of the New York Philharmonic. That is what it feels like to be a little bit in love. And then that swing rhythm instead of this. It just swings easy. And I'm just a little bit in. And that wonderful rhythm, a little bit in love, that little syncopation brings it to life.
That's beautiful.
And just one more thing that I can't resist. The next phrase, never felt this way before. You know, if you played that left hand alone, you might recognize it. It's the same left hand as Heart and Soul.
This
is Bernstein loving the world
heard
of popular
that
music,
before.
Facility and affection. That's where he started as a composer.
So put him just in a little bit of context for us here in terms of Broadway shows at the time. What was going on here?
Yeah, as I say, this was the music of the time. This fit in perfectly to the shows that were going on. But 57 is when he wrote West Side Story. 56, the Tony Award-winning musical, was actually My Fair Lady, and I Could Have Danced All Night, which we'll actually compare to tonight in our actual show. So the year before, the Tony Award-winning musical was My Fair Lady, but the year of West Side Story, amazingly enough, Music Man beat out West Side Story for Best Musical of 1957, which is really astonishing.
We have to make sure that we get the West Side Story ballad in here because,
okay.
Sheesh, if we didn't do that, we'd be in big trouble. So we do have a recording of it of Somewhere from the 1957 original Broadway cast of West Side Story. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to a little bit of that.
Okay.
That's what we all know from West Side Story.
What an amazing beginning if you actually think about it. First of all, the whole idea of a musical that's a tragedy. I mean, musicals are supposed to have happy endings. Mm. I mean, here is one in which the three main characters are killed off. In fact, producers were unwilling to actually invest in the show because they thought it was such a downer. I mean, it's Romeo and Juliet, but it's a tragedy. But even that beginning, I mean, first of all, she starts off with just by herself, two notes. That leap, by the way, is the only leap of a minor seventh that I know, maybe somebody will call and tell me I'm wrong, of any opening popular song. You know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow starts with an octave leap. That's a big leap, very rare. And in fact, producers thought that song would never be a success because it's too hard to sing an octave. But this is even worse. It's a minor seventh, the hardest interval to sing, and it's unaccompanied with no help. I don't know of any other piece that begins with that. But not only that, that little leap becomes the entire accompaniment. Every measure of the accompaniment has a leap of a seventh. It almost sounds like Schoenberg if you play it by itself. I mean, this is a classical composer in the Broadway world, taking an idea, a simple opening leap, and making the whole accompaniment out of it, but it's a single line. There's no full orchestra. It starts from nothing. There's only two parts, a voice, an accompaniment of only one line. Just one line. Then, all of a sudden, you rise, peace and quiet, and you rise to the open air, that simple scale. Suddenly you're in the open air. You take open air. You do it higher. Anyone else would have finished, and we would have been done, but not him. They're not there yet. This is the someplace they'll never actually get to. So you're thinking, it's open air. That's what I'm looking for. You try it higher. Wait for us. But resignedly, unfortunately, no. Somewhere. Down there. But then later he will take the one that goes down somewhere, we're not there, and in the middle it will go up someday with hope. What goes down becomes someday. The same melody note, change the chord underneath, becomes deeper and more emotional. Somewhere. Then to the highest note of the piece, we'll find a way, a new way of living. Take that same melody. Do it lower for forgiving. And then put in a beautiful forgiving chord. That chord is all the forgiving that we wish we could all reach to. And then back to somewhere. And then the beautiful ending of the song. So we've had someday, same note twice. Then we went in the middle to we'll find. But this last time we do it three times. Same notes, change the chord, everyone expects. But instead we do it a third time, and the two ideas of the piece meet. Somewhere, and there's a place for us in the accompaniment. They happen at the same time. And then we meet on the key rhythm of the whole song. They may never meet together, but the melody and the accompaniment have found there somewhere.
Yeah, never, ever thought of it like that. Never. What are you most looking forward to about this program?
Well, there's several things I'm looking forward to. One is Jessica Rivera, our soprano, is a world-famous international opera singer, and working with her is a true privilege. The other thing I'm really looking forward to, and I guess this is my connection to Bernstein, is there are all these fantastic things in this music, and I just want everyone in that audience to get it. These are pieces that almost all of us have known all our lives, but we've never really heard them. Mm-hmm. And that's really the purpose of what makes it great, to hear what we've missed.
Right. Well, thank you so much for enlightening us. It was really, really learned a lot. So
a pleasure.
You. Rob Capello, conductor, composer, commenter, and author. He'll be at Breaking Down the Music of Leonard Bernstein this Friday at the Sanders Theater as part of the Celebrity Series of Boston. Thanks again.
A pleasure.
Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.